Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
Good evening. Welcome once again to The O Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley. It is Wednesday, May 18th, and I can't believe we're halfway through the month and we still have chilly nights. Now, don't get me wrong. I actually like chilly nights. I'm a snuggler. I have a tendency to pull on covers and snuggle myself into them to the point where I wake up in the morning occasionally kind of drenched if I do that too much. So I like my cool nights, but I have to tell you, as a baseball mom, this has been a little crazy, freezing at games at this time of the spring. But that being said, I actually got my topic tonight from the baseball game I was at earlier. My son plays junior varsity for our high school, which is really very cool since he is, as I've mentioned, homeschooled. He had an unusually rough game, and that's not like him at all. He's one of the strongest players on the team, and he prides himself on that. It's a big part of, you know, his own personal identity. It's a big part of who he is and what he does is being good at baseball. And he had a terrible game. And I found myself thinking about mistakes, about errors, because that was one of the things that happened for him. He made an error that got compounded by two more from his teammates. I suppose I could go on to say, you know, you win as a team, you lose as a team. And I'm sure that there's a whole show I could do on that as well. But my focus today is going to be on the art and joy and possibility that happens and can only happen when we make mistakes. And I know that seems a little odd in a show all about empowerment, but I promise you that, as always, I will make it link back. I usually do a pretty good job of that. So today, actually, in our Oh My section, I wanted to tell you about something that was for sale today on the internet that sold out in an hour. Some of you may be familiar with the completely outrageous, inappropriate, oh my God, I can't believe they created this game known as Cards Against Humanity. And if you've ever played it or never played it, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. As I said, it is completely inappropriate. It is racist, sexist, and just about every other ist out there. And I've never laughed so hard in my life as I do during those games. So anyway, the folks who made this a very irreverent game today sold 10,000 of what they called the Donald Trump bug out bag. Scratchy throat. For $25, and you can imagine why when they list you all the things that are in it, you will understand why they sold out 10,000 of them in an hour. They admit, by the way, that they lost money on this, but I'm dying to see when people start to get them. I'm hoping there'll be some unboxings on YouTube. So the Donald Trump bug-out bag is a pre-packed duffel bag with over a dozen items handpicked to help you survive the collapse of civilization after Donald Trump is elected president of the United States. Includes the Cards Against Humanity Trump pack with 25 new jokes about the frightening demagogue Donald Trump. So it comes with food rations for when supplies are low. So it's got like emergency rations, a little like what you would have in your kit gear if you were in the armed forces. A flint and steel to help you start a fire to warm your cold, terrified family. A durable black duffel bag suitable for travel in the radioactive wasteland. Water purification tablets for when America's supply of potable water is depleted. A hand crank radio to scan the airwaves for other survivors. A gas mask to protect you from the red dust while you scavenge for scrap metal. A can of beans to eat around the fire on a special occasion. A harmonica to entertain your fellow wastelanders with songs of the old days. A space blanket to keep you warm when building a fire is too risky. A compass to help you head south toward wherever meager civilization still remains. A laminated card with a handy Spanish phrases such as, I am a refugee. Currency from Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Colombia. An application to become a permanent resident of Mexico. Seed packets to help you recreate civilization by cultivating plants. A copy of Plato's Republic so that you can contemplate the ultimate folly of democracy. A small golden locket with a photograph of former President Barack Obama. And of course, finally, the Cards Against Humanity Trump pack with 25 cards about America's 45th and last president, Donald Trump. So this is true. They actually had this. And at the bottom now of the screen, it says all 10,000 bags are sold out. When Donald Trump is elected president, you will perish in the wasteland. Sorry. So that, it's hysterical. I can't believe they actually created that and made that and sold it. The head of Cards Against Humanity said they took, definitely took a financial hit on the decision to create this, but, I guess it was for goodwill, 10,000 potential survivors. It is real, by the way. You can check it out. There was a CNN story about it. It made the Huffington Post. It made NBC News Chicago. Those are the ones that pop up at the top of my Google feed when I put that in there. So that's my amusing for today. Because, oh my goodness, there are times when, I'm preparing to do this show and I'm thinking about it during the week and I think to myself, my God, how can I think about that? How can we think about this in the midst of various and sundry chaos out in the world? And then I stop and I tell myself, you know what, we almost have to. And I've said this here before, but I'll say it again because I think it bears repeating. And that is that we do need to stop and think about ourselves and what we want to bring to the world and how we want to be in the world, especially at times like this, because it's the living in fear. I honestly believe this. It's the living in fear that has allowed situations like Trump's success to happen. Now, I am not saying this to be for or against him, but I sadly completely understand how his candidacy could happen. The same way I can understand how Hitler rose to power. And yes, I am comparing the two in the sense that they both based their candidacy and they're basing their success on fear and blame and name calling and finger pointing. And when people are fearful, when people see, or not even fearful, but troubled and don't see a way out, when somebody can say, this is who's at fault, this is who's to blame, if we do this and this and get rid of these people, your life will get better. That can be very seductive, and I mean seductive in its most base sense, which is to control and to manipulate the mind of somebody else. And I think that's what's happened. And I think that the opposite of fear, the opposite of war is, and it's actually funny, Jonathan Larson says this in the musical Rent, the opposite of war isn't peace, he says, it's creation. And we can't create when we're feeling fearful. As a writer, I can tell you that. As a mother, I can tell you that. You know, the last thing you want to do is the thought of bringing another child into this world or creating something when you are truly petrified. And I think on some levels, a lot of people are. I mean, deeply frightened. And that's a very draining, very exhausting, very depressing way to live. And because of that, people are looking for excuses and reasons and ways out and how to change it. And when somebody comes along with a potential solution of any kind, they latch onto it. So I invite everybody who listens here on the O-Spot and to Om Times to be really looking at and embracing the things that you love, that excite you, that empower you, that thrill you, that allow you to create, that move you away, basically, from fear, from living that tiny way. Because here, do this a quick exercise with me. If you take your hand and you put it at the tip of your nose, you probably hear my voice change, okay? Put the center of your palm on the tip of your nose. All you can see is your palm, really. I mean, you can see very little around it. Now, if you move your hand away, you can still see your palm, but you can see a lot more. And when we take the time to step away from the fears, we can see a lot more. We can feel a lot more. We can enjoy a lot more. We can embrace a lot more. We can accomplish a lot more. A lot more good. So that's my up and down opening, oh my, for today on the O-Spot. If I sound a little on the exhausted side, it's only because I've spent no more than an hour or so at home all day long. Out in the morning, came back, came home for an hour, went out again, came back in for an hour, went back out again. Crazy day. So come back, now that my music is starting, come back for the oh no section, because we're going to talk about the joy of mistakes. Here on the O-Spot on Om Times Radio.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Come on, admit it with me. There's a part of you that just wants to tell somebody that, yes, I'm taking part in irreverent therapy. Wouldn't that be a hoot? You know, and what they just said about laughing and loving and not so much taking life so seriously, but, you know, not letting it be something that drags you down. Oh, my gosh, what a gift that is for us to give ourselves and to give everyone around us, quite frankly. That's just my personal opinion. So, all right, let's talk about the joy of mistakes. Like I said, I watched my son make some errors tonight, and I know, because I know him, that afterwards he was beating himself up about that. It was very hard for him to shake. Now, normally he's very good about getting focused for a game, and he moves from what I think of as his thinking mind and into his knowing mind. You know, that's the place where you don't have to go, okay, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do, or it better happen this, or it better happen, you know, that chattery mind. The knowing mind is that place of confidence and centered, and it's just, you know it when you're there. And what I realized today is at only 16, if something kind of throws him off, like making an error that he obviously shouldn't have and knows how to not do, or not getting the hit he thought he would, his ability to his ability to get back to the knowing mind after being sort of bumped into his thinking mind is really hard for him. And it occurred to me, you know what, he's 16. That's something that comes with, knock on wood, maturity. And fortunately, he spent a few hours after the game with the varsity team, and that kind of put him in a good spot. But of course, I spent the next few hours going, oh my God, is he okay? Oh my gosh, is he okay? Because as moms, you know, it's not that we don't want them to make mistakes, but it's not easy for us when they do go through them. So I looked up the joy of mistakes, and I actually got things that popped up. I was really actually kind of happy about that. I didn't think I would get I thought I was going to get some things that were, you know, sort of close, but, you know, sort of flipping that on its head. And from the peopleproductivitysuccess.com, Tiny Buddha, which apparently loves me, and I don't know why virgin.com came up, but there's an article on there called Failed First Drafts, The Joy of Making Mistakes. So obviously, I mean, it came up because I put in that title, and it was just written on March 2nd. So I thought that was funny, but I have to look around this website because I'm completely unsure how this article ended up on that page. It's in their entrepreneur section, and I'm fascinated. So if any of you have ever been on this website, please message me. I would love to know more about it. But the joy of making mistakes, Stress has this really great picture, and it says, I've learned so much from my mistakes. I think I'll make a few more. So, it's the article starts off. Let me just check to see if I have a timeline on it. But it's nice and short. Think about these questions. How do you feel when you make mistakes? What, if any, should be the consequences for making mistakes? How do you ensure you learn from mistakes? And do you actually make changes based on the mistakes learning? And what happens if you don't? So making mistakes is great as long as, or they're not great, but making mistakes is helpful as long as it tells you something you've learned and you don't make the same mistake again. Because one of the quotes I saw recently that sadly I have to agree with is, the first time it happens, it's a mistake. The second time it happens, it's a choice. So I can certainly speak to the fact that there's sort of different mistakes, types of mistakes in my life. And I was writing these things down. You sort of have the error and the unexpected and the accidents. And those are the things you can sort of be immediately responsible for. You can take ownership of it if you're smart. And if you don't, if you make a mistake and try to brush it off on somebody, this is a huge oh-no. when you don't own the mistakes you've made and that you are truly responsible for, you've diminished yourself and any opportunity that this has had to potentially empower you or connect you with the person with whom you have this problem. I mean, how many people do you know, well, I got stuck in traffic, or, you know, they blame everything on the outside world. It's never their responsibility. So then if it's not your responsibility, you haven't owned it and you can't learn from it. And you are likely to make the mistake again. So it may be the fault of the traffic, but the responsibility to leave on time was yours. So take responsibility, even in the situations where what happened is not really your fault necessarily. And I'll give you a good example of fault versus responsibility, because I think it's a really tough one to understand. I actually learned it, ironically, from an old episode of the medical series ER. But the one I use most often to explain it to people is when my son was younger. I can't remember if it was my older or my younger son, but when they were younger, one of them broke a plate that I happened to like very much. It was special. I had two of them. I bought them on a trip. I loved those plates. And it was my son's fault that the plate broke. He had knocked it over. It was his fault. But it was my responsibility to put it away, to clean it, and to make sure it was out of reach of a young child. If it was, quote unquote, so special to me, then that's what I should have done. So the fault was his. The responsibility was mine. And it's a very worthwhile lesson, and it's a very important thing, I think, to understand. Because when you don't take the responsibility and you throw it off on other people, you are telling them something about you, and you are disempowering yourself. See? Told you I'd mention that. Because you're giving your power up. I mean, when you don't take responsibility and own what you did, you have actually offered that power to the traffic, your alarm clock, the change in time, the bad weather. I mean, really, you really want to give your power up to the weather? I mean, come on. And don't get me wrong, there are days I don't want responsibility. I want to be 5 years old again. I want to eat cereal and play and then nap and do all those things. And I will do that. But the oh no of not taking responsibility for your mistakes is huge. You give up power to something that A, doesn't want it, or B, doesn't deserve it. Or both. So it's hard to say, oh, I love making mistakes. I can't imagine anybody's ever going to say it in that way. But it gives you, as I said, it gives you an opportunity. There's this great movie. I loved it. It didn't do well for Disney because they didn't advertise it much. It's called Meet the Robinsons. And he's trying to make this machine that spins out peanut butter and jelly simultaneously so you don't get too much peanut butter or too much jelly. This is some very important stuff. And jams up, and not only does it fail, the machine explodes, getting peanut butter and jelly all over everybody. And I was going to play the clip, but it's really kind of short, and when you can't see the visual with it, it's not helpful. explodes all over everybody, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And one of them says, you failed! It was awesome, spectacular. They're all throwing out these great encouraging words. And he's like, but it didn't work. And she's like, you know, yeah. She says, but from your failures, you learned. From your successes, not so much. And one of them says, you know, if I hadn't failed so many times, I never would have made the meatball cannon. You know, okay, they've invented some very bizarre things, but that's the truth. I mean, it's the Thomas Edison, I didn't fail 10,000 times, I learned 9,999 ways not to do it. I can't remember if it was 10,000 or 1,000. Regardless, there is a really important book called 3 Feet from Gold, and that's what it's about. It's about stopping and quitting because you're not willing to continue to make the mistakes or continue to fail. And failing and making mistakes, I mean, it's part of life, right? It's part of things. And I know we've all heard the, you know, it's only a failure if you quit. And it's only, you know, it's only if you don't allow yourself to work through it and learn from it, then it becomes significant. And we, I know I'm kind of bebopping around here a bit, but we set a huge example for the people in our lives and anywhere we work, because this sort of thing will set the culture of our environment. And that can be your family. I definitely grew up in a scenario where making mistakes did not particularly feel safe. I'll put it that way. Success was so highly valued and almost expected that anything looking like failure or a mistake was somewhat frightening. And I strive, and my husband strives not to create that, because he grew up in a similar situation. We strive not to have that in our home, that failing and making mistakes is something all of us do, including myself at this age, you know, so my kids do it as well. If you work in a company, you know, look at the mistake culture. You know, that can be a huge oh no. And if you're looking for a new job, you know, find out what happens when things don't go as planned. You know, they could be all hunky-dory about your successes, but you're not going to be perfect. So, and taking the risk to not be perfect in a relationship, whether it's an established one or a new one, is important. You're going to make mistakes, and pretending you don't is not going to support you, and you won't get the support you need and deserve. All right, with that happy music, that is our Oh No section. Come back for Oh Yes here on the O Spot with me, your host, Rachel Kenley, on Ohm Times Radio.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Ohm Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Ohm Times Radio.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Free your mind with Ohm Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I'm Rachel Kenley. You're listening to the O Spot. And if you're listening on my regularly scheduled time, wonderful. And I've just noticed I encore a lot, so I hope you're finding me at other times that work for you, because not everybody can stay awake on Wednesday nights until 10 p.m. Even some of my guests recently have been like, oh dear, okay, I'll nap or I'll get ready or I'll be ready. And I have to tell you that for me, today was a huge challenge for staying awake. But I love being here with you guys. So you know what the biggest challenge is going to be? I get really like pumped doing this, and then I really need to go to bed. And I can't go to sleep afterwards. Is that a terrible problem? You know, I wish for me that that's my toughest thing all week long. Wouldn't that be great? All right, so here we are in the OES, the joy of making mistakes, because Einstein says, anybody who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new. And as people who want to create something, you know, that's important to remember, that simply by trying, simply by living, we are going to make mistakes. The challenge is, when I was looking at my list, I was like, okay, so we have the one-time mistakes, the errors, the things that break, the unexpected, the accidental, and then we have the ones that are more habits, you know, the poor choices, the time wasters, the things like that. And that's a harder change. And I'm putting this in the OES because, you know, that's the one that we really, it's not that we don't notice that we've made the problems or had the problems, we do. And there's so many times, I mean, you know, infinite resolutions and books we've all bought and own and maybe read, where we want to change a habit or we are trying to find out why? What's at the emotional root of our poor eating habits, our web game or Facebook, you know, time eating choices? Because as I said earlier, you know, you make a mistake once, it's a mistake. You make it twice, now it's a choice. You make it three times, now we're starting in towards habit. And that can be hard. I'm not going to go into that one heavily today. But it does relate back to if you've given up your time and your actions to a habit that doesn't serve you, it is, again, a form of giving up your power. So if not getting enough sleep, if not moving, you know, for a few minutes every few hours, and that one's me. I just got a Fitbit with money that my mom gave me for Mom's Day. How's that for circular? Because I didn't realize until recently, when I put an app on my phone, how little I actually move. It feels like I'm up and down and up and down. I'm not. I'm very sedentary, and I need to change that, and I want to change that. So that is something. So looking at those things is important and helpful. You can't let yourself be limited by the fear of making the mistake. Okay, that's kind of my OES. And it goes back to what I started with which is when we let fear run our lives. You know, there's so many people, actually one of the articles talks about a child who was so afraid of trying and failing that he would just go straight to the fail. And you want to know that when you start something out, you're going to make mistakes, and you can't let yourself be limited by a fear of that. If you have a lot of people in your life who don't allow you and don't accept mistakes from you, then you're going to want to rethink that, because you don't deserve that. That's fear is stealing, you know, your awesomeness. It's stealing your power. And it's taking away some of the incredible possibilities that are there for you and that are part of the struggle and the mistakes. You know, the two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And if somebody said that's not a mistake, it's a cha-cha. So there you go. We're not screwing up, we're dancing. And if you don't think dancers screw up, you know, Idina Menzel sang Let It Go, and she has got to be sick of it. I almost feel sorry for her, at New Year's and also on the Oscars. And on the Oscars, she hit her big final note. She kind of slid it, which means she kind of upped into it. And on New Year's, she missed it. She was, I can't remember, sharp or flat, but she missed it by like half a note. And of course, you know, millions of people heard that. You know, this is like the big rock in New Year's Eve. And somebody asked her about it. And she said, you know, you actually miss about 15 to 20% of all the notes in a show in any given night. So for any of you who've seen live theater where somebody can't say cut, do it again, you'll know that there are mistakes. It's actually part of the, not so much fun of the live theater, but part of the experience of it. You know, that the show I see today isn't the same as the show somebody sees tomorrow. But if you go and see Captain America Civil War, you and I will see the exact same film. So you have to take that risk. I mean, it's one of the things that people who love going to the theater and the people who love performing in the theater, you know, accept and embrace about it. Every night there's a chance for and a likelihood that somebody in those 2.5 hours is going to make a mistake. They're going to trip. They're going to hiccup. They're going to, you know, bang into something or something's going to knock over. My parents have gone to the operas where whole sets have flopped over. I've seen dancers fall. We've certainly all seen ice skaters fall and things like that. So the ice skaters we've never seen are the ones who felt that they were so afraid of falling that they weren't going to continue. And I don't want that for any of you. I want all of us to embrace the falling so that we embrace the getting up and the keeping going. Okay, fine. Keep it going isn't a real phrase, but you know I like to make great phrases up. And like I said, I'm a writer. I can make up words, right? Besides, if you all start using it, nobody will know. We'll make mistakes. We'll stumble. I've stumbled here. I've yawned. I've coughed. Have I sneezed with you guys? I can't even remember. I may have. I've definitely yawned. And now talking about it, I probably will again. I had that stretch where I had a terrible cough. So you don't know. And it's okay not to know. You just have to hold that vision of where you're heading. You've all heard me reference The Wizard of Oz in many, many different ways. And, you know, Dorothy starts at the beginning. Glinda tells her that. It's always best to start at the beginning. And she literally takes that very, very first pointed part of the yellow brick road in the center of the swirl, and she starts right at the beginning. You know, she doesn't start near the beginning. She starts right at the beginning. And she knows where she's headed. It's the Emerald City to see the wizard. And Lordy, does she make mistakes along the way? And she gets sidetracked, and she gets stopped, and she gets poisoned by poppies for a while. It is not a smooth path. And she certainly doesn't know in advance how it's going to work out. But she holds the belief that where she is going is important. What she is doing is significant. And she's determined not to let anything stop her, not even a very frightening wizard and an equally frightening witch. Quite frankly, I find the wizard more frightening because he hides who he is. And at least the witch is pretty open and honest about it. I don't like you. I'm going to get you and your little dog too. So there. So stumble, fall, keep your eyes open for friends along the path. But remember where you're going and remember that where you're trying to go is important. You know, the mistakes we made are a test, I think, sometimes to show that we can and will continue going no matter what. I could find the quote, but there's one about, you know, it's easy to steer a boat in sight of the shore in order to really, you know, take on a challenge. You have to lose sight of that. You have to go out into the sea. And I've just mush that quote to hell. I'll try to see if I can find it during my break. But if you play it safe and never make mistakes, you will also never go anywhere. You'll never try anything. I mean, I was just talking about the theater, and the big name and the big thing in the theater right now is the musical Hamilton by Lin-Manuel Miranda. It took him 6 years to write it. And in fact, there was one song that took almost a year, and somebody he was working with said, "We're going to be dead before you finish this. You may want to pick up the pace." He has written a musical about the founding of the United States using, since it was founded by the immigrants of then, he made it look like the immigrants of today, how the nation looks today and all of its minorities. And he's used hip-hop, rap, and other forms of music to do it. Talk about getting out there on the skinny branches. Oh, and just to make it scarier, about 3 years ago or before it started on Broadway, he did the opening number that he had written, and nothing else was written at that point. The first time he ever performed it in front of an audience, it was for President Obama and his wife and others. So that's taking some huge risks. And there were mistakes along the lines, along the way. And he now has a Pulitzer Prize. And he now has the show has the most nominations of any musical in the history of Broadway. So when you have a fire in your belly, when you have a passion, when you have desire, feed that desire. Don't let mistakes be, you know, water to put it out. You know, maybe the fire feels like it dims, but go back and find the things that feed that fire and build the flame up and blow on the embers. Do the things you need to do and build it stronger the next time. Put more wood on it than ever. You know, add more things that are flammable and just nurture it and find the people with whom you can nurture it, because that's something that people who have succeeded say, that they have people in their lives who were there to feed the fire when they maybe couldn't. That's my OES for you. See? Power and desire. That's what we're all about here on the O Spot. Come on back for our last segment, the Oh Wow, to knock you into the rest of your week. Here on Ohm Times Radio.
The future of internet radio is here. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Ohm Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Ohm Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Alicia Isaacs-Howes.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. You can find us every week here on Ohm Times Radio at Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
The Real Conscious Connection. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM.
I think I need maybe I need a snazzier music. What do you guys think? Is it me? Am I getting tired of it? It's the Libra in me. We don't stick with things sometimes. It's one of our challenges. Hey, look, I just gave up my power to my zodiac sign. Let's all try that a couple times. All right. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I hope you're thinking noticing ways in which, you know, mistakes have either touched you and affected you to the point where you stopped, and maybe the ones that affected you and the ones that didn't affect you the same way and you didn't. Part of my oh wow for you this week, and it's funny because I called up all these other things on something called Wabi Sabi, which is the art of imperfection. It's a Japanese thing. And now I'm thinking, nah, I'm going to close that and close that and close that. Woohoo. Okay. Told you I get all excited. We've all made mistakes, and chances are they fall into those two categories, the ones that we didn't dwell on and the ones that we did, the ones that didn't make a long-term impact in our lives and the ones that did. The ones that did make a long-term impact might actually also be, the long-term impact can be positive. So let's say you made a mistake with the job you chose. I know I have. But there are things in retrospect that not only did I learn from that job and those jobs, but the things I learned about me helped me to make whatever decision I made next and made next and led me to the person and the woman I am today and the choices I have in my life now. Certainly there were mistakes with men, and there have been mistakes with school and mistakes on how I've used time. And some of those I will never make again. My most recent novella, Her Frozen Stepbrother, oh my gosh, I pushed that deadline. I missed the deadline and then really had a scramble. And now I'm working much more diligently, about a couple hundred words if I can't do more than that, but to keep being persistent and consistent so that I get the results that I want to have. So that was a mistake that led, that was a short-term mistake. That was a short-term thought. You know, that was like, okay, made a mistake, made an immediate correction. There's value to both. The ones that are the disempowering ones are the mistakes you've made that you didn't own, and so then didn't take responsibility and therefore gave up your power. Or equally bad, if not worse, the mistakes you made that you over-owned, for lack of a better phrase, in the sense that, oh my God, this was all my fault, you know, and now I'm never going to take another risk. I'm never going to travel again. I could never... you know, I took a class on, I'm going to use my own life and people I know who've gone through this. I took a class on writing and got a terrible grade and my teacher said lousy things. And now I'm never going to, I'm never going to write again. Or I tried out for the high school play and I didn't get the role I wanted and I'm never going to act again. The mistakes that weren't mistakes, but were actually just small setbacks that we, for some reason, took as big, huge signs that said don't and shouldn't and can't and stop. My oh wow to you is that look at some of those. See if you can find those in the coming weeks. See if you can remember those. See if you're willing. Okay. It's not an easy thing to do. It is about going back and re-empowering yourself, looking for those times in our life where something or someone happened and a mistake was made. And because of that mistake, we have given up our power to fear. We've given up our power to that time period. I can honestly say that I did that with my very first serious relationship, and I gave up a lot of my sexual power. It's one of the reasons why, well, first, it was one of the reasons why the next man I dated didn't believe in premarital sex. So, phew, took that right off the table, made my life easier. But it's also the reason that I've come to value it so much. I know how lopsided I was until I reclaimed that part of my life, until I let go of that mistake. And the mistake of choosing him for a while, the mistake of listening to him and believing him long after he was gone. So is there an old boss, an old teacher, an old boyfriend, a parent whose response to your mistakes or with whom you made a mistake that to this day you still hold on to? Does that make sense? It's a hard one. It's going to get a little uncomfortable if you do this, but the discomfort is telling you something too. I really, really believe that. The fear, the discomfort, the flip in the stomach, you know, if I've said anything that has, what do the kids say, made you look? If it's done that for you, then that's a good thing. That's telling you something. And I believe that you can be strong enough to look back at that now. Time and distance are a great thing. I don't know about the healing thing all the time, but the perspective thing, you were back to the hand in front of the face, the perception thing is amazing. You know, there, for almost all of us, there is something, there's an event or two, or unfortunately maybe more, that took, either it took our power away or we sort of left it behind in that moment, in that time, in that trauma, in that loss, whatever it was. Looking sometimes at something as quote unquote simple as a mistake may lead you back to that power, may lead you back to a moment where you started to believe something less and something not entirely true. It's one of the reasons why I hate the standardized tests that are part of schools right now, because if a kid doesn't do well, they're not told this is, they don't get the idea that, or they don't get the support that this is a test and a circumstance. It's not about who they are. Instead, the message they end up getting is they're not smart enough, not good enough, not intelligent enough, not success. They won't be successful enough. And I can tell you, the kids who aren't doing well on those tests, the last thing they need is to hear that quote, to hear that again, because on some level they're already hearing it, believing it, fearing it. Who needs to encourage that? No, don't do it. So look at those times. Listen for the language. If you journal, find it in your time there. If you're driving in your car, please pay attention to the road. But, let your mind go to those places. Preferably, I ask you to try to do this when you're feeling good about yourself, not in a really thrilly happy mood, because I'm in such a good mood today, I'm going to look at my mistakes. Don't do that. But when you're in a place of, I trust me, I know my worth, my strengths, my power, I'm going to release more of that from places where maybe I gave it up. And of course, the last thing you want to do on a day when you're feeling really miserable and you just want to hide under the covers, go, good, let me go dwell on my mistakes. So there's a good time and a bad time to do it. And I hope you'll try to find that balance, because I want it to be an empowering experience for you, an oh wow experience for you, that this has been there all along, just like Dorothy's backyard and her heart's desire. It's always been there for you. You lost sight of it, you maybe turned away from it, you ignored it, or forgot about it. Let somebody else's voice get louder, and you stopped hearing your own truths. And it's, it's time. Does that make sense? It's time for you to look at all of the pieces of power in your life, the ones you have and the ones you are ready and deserve to reclaim. So that's my oh wow for you. See, told you I'd bring it back to that personal power. And some of that will be your sexual power. There's chances are, I know I'm in good company and way too damn much company, quite frankly, in the choice of a relationship that did more harm than good. And as much as we've healed from it, there may still be some places, some mistakes that we need to recover from and take our power back from. Because trust me, that other person does not deserve your greatness. You do, and then the world does. That's my time for this week. As always, the hour flew by with you. So thank you for joining me, Rachel Kenley, here on the O-Spot. Please come back next week. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, but check me out online, facebook.com/author Rachel Kenley, and I promise to give you a hint. Have a great week from the O-Spot and Om Times Radio. Good night.